Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Jerome Bernow. How are you, Jerome?
I'm very, very well.
We talked about the grape varieties. Mm-hmm. I noticed when we were in there, the trellising method was, because a lot of people talk about goblet, because they like to say, or goblet, it's easy for me to say, but you guys aren't doing that. What's your trellising method here?
So double cordon wire, so all the vines are trained on two wires, so you've got the main plants, then you've got two branches going on each side.
Yep, and they're old vines, it's like got woody material, it's not the... a cane from last year's growth. It's a proper old,
exactly,
bit of woodiness.
They're very, very true, well spotted. And then every year you will have another two branch going up.
Two canes,
and that one will be new every year, yeah.
Okay, and then the grapes again grow on the bottom near where the canes come out.
Yes, not on a high, you know, they need a bit of shade, yeah.
Yeah, so you keep them quite low. Is that to provide shade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and your rows were reasonably close together. Do you use shading from the row beside it, or is it just shading from the vegetative growth above it?
Just above it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
Because in between each row we have 2 meters, so you won't be able to get any shades from the other rows. It's really from the vegetation above the grapes, yeah.
Okay, and the other thing I noticed when we were walking through is there was a load of what looked like quite nice grapes lying on the ground, you know?
Yes.
What's
That's
going on there?
What we called the green harvest. Mm-hmm. In Côte de Provence, we could produce 55 hectoliters of juice per hectare. Mm-hmm. That's a rule, you need to stick to it. But to concentrate your grape juice, you need to have to remove some grapes, basically. So at Leub, we go below 38 compared to 55 just to have an extra concentration of aromas into the grapes. So what we do, you've seen it, we cut some grapes not yet fully ripe. And we don't use them at all, just laying on the ground.
Some of them look like they'd gone through veraison or getting close to veraison, where the color changes from green to red.
Yeah.
Do you do it normally, because it's green harvest, you'd expect to be done before veraison?
It could be done at different stage. You need to go every single day in your vineyards to check what's going on, and then you decide. Normally you do it with, as you said, green grapes, but you can do it a little bit later on when you notice you have maybe too many grapes on each plant.
Okay. And the last thing is, I was talking to you earlier, and I'm staying in Saint-Tropez at the moment. I went for a mountain bike ride up into the hills, try and get fit. And as I was riding up there, I saw these guys in these bright viz orange jackets.
You're right in a season, yes.
Season. Yeah, and they'd all had shotguns. And I tell you what, when you're riding a mountain bike up the hill and you see these rows of guys with shotguns,
Don't miss your shoot, yeah.
Yeah. Be careful, mate. What's going on there?
So we have a little bit of a pest with those wild boar. Mm-hmm. Big colonization in this area. So that's what you've seen yesterday. We need to have some hunt and shoot them to regulate them, because they can do a bit of damage. They love the grapes.
I know. I've heard they really like grapes. Yeah. In fact, I did an interview with a guy called Monty Walden a wee while ago. He did a program called Chateau Monty. I think he was down this way. He's making wines.
Yeah.
And they had a real problem hunting boars because they love the grapes.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a real problem here?
Or it is. It can really be. If you don't, unfortunately, you know, hunt them, they can damage a lot your vineyards. Yeah.
Is there any other pests or problems you have down here?
No.
Just boars?
Boars, yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
Birds don't do any damage. A couple of rabbits, nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
A couple of deers, nothing to worry. No, wild boar.
Is the one.
That's the one.
Okay, and that'll be why the sausages are so good, is it? Wild boar, bit of a problem, but you still managed to make some pretty nice wines. We tried to range your wines earlier,
yes,
and it was two whites... No,
one white,
two reds, and two rosés.
Yes.
And do you want to just give us a quick overview of what your rosés are like, and maybe if they're typical of Provence. So obviously, some of the things I've drunk a lot of cheap Provence rosé while I've been here.
It's a, give you a bit of headache,
maybe, but not that much. But I did notice that the length of your wines is quite long. Your wines had a really nice long length to them, whereas a lot of the cheaper rosés I've been glugging gone straight away, and then you have your next glass. So just give us a quick overview of your wines and what you're making and why.
Yeah, so if we start with the rosé, two rosés, the first one, the Rosé de Léoube, we've tried the 2013, and then we've tried the Secret of Léoube, 2013 as well.
And they're both great varieties of Grenache Saint-Saube.
Grenache Saint-Saube, the first one, so the Rosé de Léoube will be Grenache Saint-Saube, 40% of each, Syrah Mourvèdre, 10% of each, that should do the 100%.
Yeah.
Very much toward the red fruits on the nose, very clean, elegant. And when you drink them, you keep the red fruit, a bit of wild strawberry, but as well a hint of exotic fruits such as pineapple, but as well more local peach, balanced.
I could definitely taste some of the fruitiness. I found it quite hard to unpick the individual flavors, but there was a, what you're saying is about right, but I sometimes you get wines that are just absolutely, that it smells of pineapple.
Yeah.
Whereas yours were,
because they're very well balanced. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all more integrated, the flavors.
Exactly, yeah. To drink all day long, that's...
But there are 13% alcohol, so pretty tough to drink all day long.
No. But as well, important with the rosé all day long, but all year round, that's very important. We do the style of rosé at Château Léoube to be drinking on its own, but with food as well, but all year round. Very important to understand that. You drink white wine all year round, rosé can be drinking all year round.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think of rosé more as a summer drink, don't they?
Not anymore. With the style of wine we are making, definitely. And the Secret of Léoube, so different blend such as Grenache and Saint-Saulve again, but 20% Cabernet Sauvignon, and those three grapes will be much older vines compared to the first one. The first one, the average age of the vines will be 25 years. For the Secret of Léoube, 35 to 60 years old vines.
Do the French have a particular name for old vines?
Yeah, vieille vigne.
You see that on bottles sometimes, don't you, old vines?
It's a bit of a marketing tool.
There's no...
Vieille vigne, it must be good.
yeah. Is it that sometimes, some people say that the wines get more concentrated.
Which is true. That's why we are making the Secret very small production, because we don't have a lot of very old vines. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the two, not one is better than the other, just two different styles. The Secret will be a little bit more lively, thanks to the Cabernet, but as well more citrus aromas compared to the first one, which allow this wine to be drinking with other dishes, such as loin of lamb, nice pink loin of lamb, veal chop as well, perfect to go with it.
Perfect. And then you've got a couple of reds.
Three reds, exactly, yeah. The first one we've tried, well, the 2011 Rouge de Léoube, made with 60% Syrah, a bit of Grenache, a bit of Saint-Saulve. Very elegant to be drinking on its own or with red meat. The second one we have tried was the Fort de Léoube 2010. A blend of four grapes, Grenache, Saint-Saulve, Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon. A bit more earthy, but more leathery, more masculine. Perfect with English stew.
That was the one I actually thought had more of a flavor of wild,
wild
fermentation.
East,
And a wee bit of Brettanomyces in there as well, which is quite... It was nice, complexing factor. Some people get a bit uptight about it, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah. And the difference as well with the red at Léoube and the rosé, the reds will start in stainless steel, but will finish aging in big cask.
Yeah.
Not to give any wood flavor, but to make the wine softer, rounder, elegant.
Yeah,
so compared to the rosé, 100% stainless steel.
Yeah, because a lot of people use barriques to get those sort of vanilla, coconut flavors into the wine, whereas your bigger, older cask are more for oxidative aging, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it just softens the wine out.
Very
lovely.
And they don't stay there for a long time, 9 to 12 months maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finish finished. No, we didn't finish. We had the collector, so the 100% Cabernet Franc. This time, the collector has been aged in demi-oui, so 600 liters oak barrels for 18 months. More juicy, more leathery, more woody wine.
Yeah.
And to clean our palate, we had a lovely white 2013, a blend of Roll, Sémillon, Uniblanc. Dead easy to drink, you know, very elegant, refreshing, crisp.
Roll's a great variety I don't hear a lot of before. Sémillon, you see it in Bordeaux a lot.
A lot, yeah.
And also in a lot of dessert wines as well, Botrytis wines,
of course, yeah,
dessert
yeah,
wines.
Perfect, yeah.
And Uniblanc, I know mainly for its fame for being a high-cropping, cheap wine they use for making brandy out of, or Trebbiano in Italy.
Yeah.
It tastes quite nice, quite fresh as well. It had a nice freshness to it, which is something I don't always think about hot climate white wines. I always think of them being a bit more...
Heavier. Maybe a bit more sugar as well.
Yeah, but Roll's a great variety I don't see a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, typical from Provence. We can call it as well Vermentino, so you will see a lot, obviously, in Italy.
Yep.
But that's the three grapes which... blended together works very, very well.
Just a quick one. I understand here at Chateau Liaube you've poached, or sort of poached, a winemaker. There's a famous wine called Whispering Angel, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
So that's another winemaker more inland.
Yep.
But we have met with Jean-Jacques Hotte, famous winemaker, which you may have heard his wine which he used to make was Domaine Hotte. And as you mentioned, we pinched, or he came to visit us and decided to sell what he used to have to a big champagne house, and then decided to work for Chateau Liaube. So we have Monsieur Hotte and nowadays Romain Hotte fully in charge of the viticulture and winemaking for Chateau Liaube. So... important. Hein? They're not making hot wine. They are called Monsieur Hotte, Romain Hotte, and they are working for Chateau Liaube. Nothing to do with Domaine Hotte nowadays.
Yeah.
But you've got a good pedigree at Chateau Liaube, good team of people knowing what to do with the terroir, with the region, and making those amazing wines.
We're going to talk later on with Frederick, who's in the winemaking team. He's going to help us talk a wee bit more about the rosé wine production. But before we get on to that, I wanted to just check on one region, which is probably the most famous appellation in the region. You've got Côte de Provence, but you've got Bondol.
Yeah, I mentioned it a couple of times before, Bondol. Yeah. We were not far away from Bondol. Bondol, it's between here and Marseille, between here and Cassis. Mm-hmm. So Côte de Provence, overall, it's 20,000 hectares of vines. Bondol will represent only 1,500 hectares, so a very small area. Right on the coast as well. The difference between us and Bandol, the type of soil, but as well the slope. Here you saw we are pretty much flat.
Yeah.
Bandol will be much, much steeper, so different exposure to the sun.
South-facing, isn't it?
Exactly. Full.
They're mainly famous for their red wine production from Mourvèdre as well. And Mourvèdre is a great variety that does struggle to ripen sometimes. You know, you need a hot climate.
That's perfect. You know, facing south, steep slope, perfect for Mourvèdre.
Yeah. So are they normally 100% Mourvèdre or just Mourvèdre dominated?
It's dominating, yeah. In Provence, you tend to always blend your wines.
Okay.
Yeah.
In different what countries can you get your wines?
Oh, that's a tough question. Not tough, but obviously we do sell. The ratio is about 50% in France, 50% in France, 50% on the export. Mm-hmm. And the biggest market on the export will be UK. Mm-hmm. But we're doing well in America, East and West Coast, Florida as well, Brazil, big market in the Caribbean as well. Climate.
Rosé wine,
ideally, it's a holiday destination again. So rosé wine, perfect. A little bit around Europe, but we go to Japan, Singapore, up to Australia, New Zealand. So we cover pretty much the globe.
Perfect. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you very much. And as you did this morning, anybody can come and visit Châteauroux. We have this beautiful tasting room. You can test all the wine all year round. Come and see us.
Very nice. Cheers very much.
Thank you so much.